5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. This episode that I have for you today is going to be pretty short, and that's because there is hardly any information at all about this case, but I feel like her story still needs to be told, and I don't believe that a case should ever be ignored or pushed aside solely because there's not enough information to make an hour-long episode out of it. And I know that that's what happens with a lot of these cases. They don't get covered because there's hardly any information out there. And it becomes this never-ending cycle where there's not enough news coverage or media coverage to put information out there for the public to consume, and therefore the case gets no other kind of coverage either, whether that be YouTube or podcasts. And a lack of media attention or just general public attention can be so harmful to a case. If nobody knows about it, if no one is talking about it, if there's no awareness being brought to light, their story gets lost, and that's just not fair. So this is something that I wanted to bring up for just a minute before I start the episode, because I know a lot of my episodes are quite short, and that's because I think it's important, especially important, to cover those cases that maybe there's not a whole lot of information. Maybe there's only 5 minutes worth of information out there, but that 5 minutes is important, and that story deserves to be told. So again, this episode is short, as are many of my episodes. This one might be my shortest yet, but Amber's story deserves to be heard. Amber Marie Brabilia was born on July 16, 1989, in Poughkeepsie, New York. She spent most of her life in Greene County, New York, until she decided to move to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at 18 years old. Amber had a vivacious personality and a bit of a rebellious spirit. A social butterfly who loved to sing and dance, she knew how to make sure everyone around her was having fun. In 2008, Amber enrolled in a local community college in Myrtle Beach to study fashion and costume design. She was passionate about the fashion industry and often made her own clothes. Her ultimate dream was to become a costume designer in the film industry. In 2011, Amber got the opportunity to study abroad in England. During the few weeks she was there, she met a man named Jose Soler, a student from Spain. He worked at the hotel where Amber was staying with her classmates. Their romance was quite the whirlwind. In just a few short weeks, the pair had fallen in love, and it made Amber's return to the U.S. that much harder. But Amber and Jose stayed in contact, and Jose ended up traveling to the U.S. to visit Amber just 6 months later. According to Amber's family and friends, the two were so deeply in love, and absolutely thrilled about a future together. In 2012, Jose proposed to Amber, and they set their wedding date for June 16, 2013, in Spain. On May 3rd, 2013, just weeks before Amber was set to graduate and get married, everything changed. That afternoon, around 1:30 p.m., Amber went to Time Warner Cable to pay her cable bill, where she could be seen on the surveillance footage inside the store. Also that afternoon, Amber was captured on surveillance at a local gas station making a purchase at the counter, though it's unclear whether this was before or after she went to Time Warner Cable. She was scheduled to go into work at a local restaurant at 4 p.m. that day, but she never showed up, and she didn't call in. Around 4 p.m. on May 3rd, 2013, Horry County Police were called to the scene of an abandoned SUV under a freeway overpass just off Old Sanders Road in Myrtle Beach. When police arrived, they found that the scene in front of them was much more than just an abandoned car. The white SUV was still running, and on the ground next to it lay a woman's body in a substantial pool of blood. Just a few inches away from her hand was her phone, still receiving calls and text messages. It appeared that the woman had been shot in the face. The woman was quickly identified as 23-year-old Amber Berbilia. She was found just over a mile from the Time Warner cable where she had just paid her bill 2 hours before. The initial report stated that Amber had been shot twice in the face, but after an autopsy, it was clear that that was not what happened. Amber had actually been beaten to death. The autopsy report stated that she had been struck twice in the head, with so much force that the first responders mistook her injuries for gunshot wounds. She also had scratches and bruises on her arms, indicating that she struggled with her attacker and fought back. There were no signs of sexual assault. Amber's cause of death was officially ruled as blunt force trauma. Police combed through the tall grass under the overpass where Amber was found, and trudged through the muddy clearing adjacent to the crime scene, searching for clues. But their searches turned up empty. There was no evidence found at the scene, forensic or otherwise, and the murder weapon was never found. As with any homicide investigation, the first person that authorities wanted to speak to was the fiancé. But Jose Soler was quickly ruled out as a suspect. He was still in Europe at the time of Amber's murder. The next suspect surfaced when police reviewed surveillance footage from the Time Warner Cable Company, where Amber had paid her cable bill that day. In the footage, which has never been released to the public, Amber was seen standing in line in front of a man who appeared to be staring at her in a domineering manner. That man was tracked down, and upon being questioned, he actually remembered Amber from that afternoon. His reasoning for remembering her specifically, despite the mundane circumstances of his encounter with her, was questionable. The man claimed that he remembered Amber specifically because when he got out of his car to go into the store, he saw Amber also getting out of her car and he noticed a black male in the car with her. That man was ultimately ruled out as a suspect. Within weeks of Amber's murder, it seemed that her case was already going cold. In May 2014, 1 year after Amber's murder, her family learned that police had obtained more surveillance footage of Amber's movements on May 3rd, 2013. They never showed the family the footage, but police told them that the video was from various highway traffic cams throughout the city. They spotted Amber's car pulling onto a side road around 3 p.m. and disappearing out of camera view for about 30 minutes. When her car reappeared, there was a shadowed figure in the car with her, but they were unable to make out a clear image of the person's face. And that is all of the information we have on Amber's case. Police have never announced a person of interest or a suspect in the investigation. Amber Berbilia's radiant, artistic spirit shines through her family, who have been championing her story since the day they lost her. Weeks away from the next chapter of her life, Amber's chance at a future was viciously stolen, and there are people out there who know exactly what happened to her. If you have any information about the murder of Amber Berbilia on May 3rd, 2013, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, please call the Horry County Police Department at 843-915-5350. To call in an anonymous tip, please call Crime Stoppers at 843-554-1111 or submit a tip anonymously at MidlandsCrimeStoppers.com. All sources for this episode are listed in the show notes. Please be sure to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you'd like to request a case for me to cover, there's a link in the show notes for the case request form. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at CrimeAgainPod, on Instagram at CrimeAgainPodcast, and on TikTok at CrimeAgainPodcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.